Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Don't be weird. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them. Stomach.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Live from the Coffee with Kenobi studios, this is Dan Z. Today I'm enjoying a warm beverage in my 2017 Run Disney black and red coffee mug, courtesy of CWK family member Ryan Kidd, who, by the way, was so sent me a great thing this week, really nice surprise. He sent me two shirts from Run Disney from the last Dark Side, the half marathon. I've got the Stormtrooper shirt that people who ran the 10K did, and then I got the one for people who successfully completed the race, so that was great. Thank you again, Ryan, for that. So we're here in the studio, and I'm really excited to welcome our guest co-hosts, Swarasala and Tom Gross, who is back with us and is going to do the news, as well as co-host the show with us, which is something I've really been looking forward to for a while. So thanks, Tom, for being here. And after what looked like an awesome vacation as far as what I saw on Facebook, we're going to be talking about that a little bit, as well as visit with Jason Brame on canon and interesting aspects of what's going on in canon these days. And we're going to play some Star Wars Trivial Pursuit in the coffee chat. The clip you heard at the beginning of the show was an outtake from Deanna recording some ads for Coffee with Kenobi last week. Had a lot of fun with that, and we're hoping to do some more stuff with Deanna in the near future, which maybe will be in the next week or two. So awesome. One of the biggest challenges I've had so far with Coffee with Kenobi, and challenge probably isn't the right word, but I, as people have noticed, finding a clip at the beginning of the show from the previous show is important because I like sort of setting the stage and showing people, hey, look, this is, if you weren't with us last week, this is kind of some of the stuff that you missed, or it's kind of the atmosphere, so I want people to go back and look at the back catalog. But the big thing I'm focusing on with the new format, and we ran a poll on Twitter, which is getting some decent amounts, and we have a Coffee with Kenobi Facebook page for people who blog for the website. And I basically am trying to figure out, how should I title these episodes? Right now, as people have noticed as they go through the feed, I just put random quotes in there from the show, and they may or may not be even related to what we talk about, but they're usually fun or interesting. And the reason I did that is because I want people to say, well, what's that about? I want to pique their curiosity. But I also understand that it might be too vague. So kind of what I'm looking at is I could stick with a random quote that we're doing now. I could put a couple of different topic ideas in the title, or I could just say who the guest hosts are, or I could do kind of a hybrid of all three. So let's officially ring in today's guest co-host to see what they think, as well as just have them join me for a cup of coffee. Swarasala is the co-host of Beltway Banthas, a Star Wars and politics podcast, as well as a blogger for the HuffPost, and, by the way, a former intern at Newsweek, which I just found out about today. And Tom Gross is, of course, our CWK newsman and Star Wars superfan, and just a good personal friend of mine. We worked together during the school year, so welcome, guys, and thanks for having a cup of coffee with me.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, it's great to be on, for sure.
So what do you guys think?
Well, I don't know. Like, some of my favorite podcasts do the random quote thing. You know, they'll be discussing a certain topic and then some sort of random funny quote will come out of it. This happens for a lot of political podcasts, actually. For example, the Slate Political Gabfest or Love It or Leave It or Pod Save America, some of my favorite political podcasts. It's like fun, sort of tongue in cheek, but it really depends on the sort of message you're trying to get out to your listeners. So, I think the poll was definitely a good idea, you know, get a feel for what they're thinking. But honestly, I feel like people are going to tune in no matter what. So do whatever you think is right.
I have to be honest with you, Dan. I always look at the top of the feed and I click on whatever the newest one is. I don't even think twice about it. So as you were talking, I've been going back through some of the other podcasts that I listen to see what they do. Not that you should do what they do, but just, I don't know. I kind of like the idea of a teaser, kind of topical teaser quote or theme that draws somebody in thinking, what does that have to do with Coffee with Kenobi or Star Wars or something like that? I kind of like that. But I agree with Swara that I think, you know, people are just going to listen because they love Coffee with Kenobi, and whatever the newest episode is what the newest episode is, and they're going to listen, and we're going to listen because we love the show. And
exactly.
And topic be darned, I'm going to listen to Coffee with Kenobi. So, I'll be interested to hear what other listeners have to say about it. And I have to say, Dan, when you're talking about your outtake from a previous show, I love that. Love that. In fact, that's one of the things I look forward to the most in the new format is what was the fun thing that was sort of behind the scenes, or what was something that was, important to you or whoever is going to be editing that time? What stood out to them? And so, yeah, I really like that aspect.
Well, good. I appreciate that. I'm glad that it's doing that. That's the plan, to sort of pull it in, because you want to, of course, speak to your current audience, and you also want to pull in new members as well. I'm kind of leaning a certain way, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So I like the openings of these shows to be about something relevant and topical, and it honestly doesn't get much bigger than the recent news of Phil Lord and Christopher Miller being fired from the untitled Han Solo film. So obviously I was not there for anything that happened, and have not spoken to anyone at Lucasfilm about any of this. CWK doesn't perpetuate rumors or speculate anyway, but we do trust credible sources. So I'm going to read a couple of things from a couple of very credible sources, one being StarWars.com, and then Variety, and finally The Hollywood Reporter, and then we're going to see what Tom, what you and Swara think about this. So, as we know, or if you don't know, the directors of the Han Solo film are not directing the film anymore. In fact, it seems that they have been fired. So let me read the official statement from Lucasfilm. The untitled Han Solo film will move forward with a directorial change. Phil Lord and Christopher Miller are talented filmmakers who have assembled an incredible cast and crew. But it's become clear that we have had different creative visions on this film, and we've decided to part ways. A new director will be announced soon, and that's from Kathleen Kennedy. Now, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, this is what they had to say. And again, this is all on StarWars.com. Unfortunately, our vision and process weren't aligned with our partners on this project. We normally aren't fans of the phrase creative differences, but for once, this cliche is true. We are really proud of the amazing and world-class work of our cast and crew, so that's from them. Now, Variety, of course, is a huge Hollywood insider, and there will be links to all these things in the show notes. And I'm just going to read a couple little excerpts from this story. It says, their exit comes after months of conflict with producer Kathleen Kennedy, others from her Lucasfilm team, and co-writer and executive producer Lawrence Kasdan. And the two directors hired to infuse the Star Wars universe with a tongue-in-cheek sensibility. Miller and Lord were stunned to find that they were not being granted freedom to run the production in the manner that they were accustomed to. They balked at Kennedy's tight control on the set. The source said that while Lord and Miller were supposedly hired for their vision and distinctive brand of filmmaking when it came to the Star Wars production, Kennedy did not approve of their shooting style and process of interacting with actors and crew. They weren't given the leeway to do what they had to do, the source said. It also goes on to say that the duo clashed with Lawrence Kasdan, who of course we know is a big deal in Star Wars, having written Empire, Jedi, and The Force Awakens. With other writers, but he was definitely a major, major voice in those films. It's unclear if and how Lord and Miller will be credited on the film. Insiders say that their forced departure in the middle of a film is a highly unusual situation. So basically, and it goes on and on to talk about this, there are a few weeks left to shoot, and they're not sure who's going to take over the directing duties. Now, there are all kinds of rumors out there, and I'm not going to go into them, but it's easy enough to Google them. There's some interesting things. Well, the only thing I want to add from the Hollywood Reporter is that they basically say, here's the problem. Lord and Miller have a comedic sensibility and improvisational style, while Kasdan favors a strict adherence to the written word. What is on the page is what must be shot. Guys, what do you think about this?
My initial response to it was, well, this has happened before. We've seen directors leave, but boy, Dan, you just had mentioned something that I hadn't really considered was that, you know, shooting has got to be close to being completed. And so how much, you know, it seems like it's awful late in the game to shift gears. But it being Star Wars, a Star Wars film, you know, I'm sure it does have to have a certain, you know, a certain standard of quality. Sure. So when they were hired for this movie, I thought, well, a Han Solo movie is going to have, you know, some quirkiness to it. And so I thought that it seemed to me to make sense, you know. But after some of the reports that you were just reading, I guess I'm not all that surprised. I don't know. I guess I should pass the ball to the other side of the court and see what Suara has to say, because I'm a little dumbfounded at the moment.
I think we're all dumbfounded, Tom. This is, you know, still shocking news when I saw the headline last night. And, you know, I've just been in a bunch of discussions with friends and fellow podcasters about this. And I think this is where I come down on it. You know, I'm just speaking plainly what I think here. I think this was overall a misstep by both Lucasfilm Limited and Lord and Miller. I think that, you know, these creative differences are something that they should have figured out before they started shooting it. I mean, they've been 6 months into shooting, and we're seeing these reports, as you were reading, Dan, from Variety, about the conflict being on set with both Kathleen Kennedy and Lawrence Kasdan, who, with George Lucas and Harrison Ford, created Han Solo, knows Han Solo better than most people in the world. And it just, it's really shocking to me that they continued filming for so long when they had all of these problems. I've been doing some research and analysis on this, and as much as you can when it comes to Hollywood politics, that is. But, you know, for something especially revered as Star Wars. And I think that Lord and Miller were trying to inject some more like, as you said, Dan, that sort of tongue-in-cheek humor, and they are very big fans of doing improvisation on set, like they did with 21 and 22 Jump Street. Whereas, you know, Kasdan, like you said, Dan, like, believes in the written word. And, you know, there's been talk as well about how much creative freedom directors and writers are really allowed in the standalone films, and whether this is a case of Lucasfilm putting too much control on set. But I think that we have to remember, when it comes to that aspect of the conversation, is this is Han Solo. This is one of the biggest characters, not just in Star Wars, but in all of cinema history. And that sort of undertaking does need that high level of diligence and respect for the overall canon.
Right. Yeah. Han Solo is, like you said, he's a big deal. And I think this sort of is the thing that gives me a little bit of peace with this whole thing, because at first it was a little unsettling. It was a lot unsettling, really. But here's what the Hollywood Reporter, there's a quote that says, "The creative clash, according to one insider, also came down to differences in understanding the character of Han Solo." And
right.
The quote is, "People need to understand that Han Solo is not a comedic personality. He's sarcastic and selfish," said the source. Mm. Now, this source is, again, unnamed. But when I read that, I thought, okay, this is it. These guys were making it maybe, they were missing the point. I mean, Han Solo is funny, but that's not the main crux of who he is. The big challenge for me with the prequels, as far as the character C-3PO, is I feel like they took a quirk of him from the original trilogy and made that all he was about.
Yeah, and totally.
If they were going to just take Han Solo and sort of narrow him down to just funny and full of wisecracks, I think that would be a disservice. And Kathleen Kennedy, there's a reason Lucas gave her the keys to the kingdom. She knows what makes these characters breathe, and sounds like she's going to make sure that that is what happens. And I do agree with you, Suara. It's really unusual. And Tom, I think you said this too, that they didn't catch this sooner, and we don't know.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure stories will be leaking out, you know, as time goes on, but sounds like ultimately it's going to be a good decision. It's just really a bit of an abrasive. It's almost like having the rug pulled out from under you and not really understanding why. But now we kind of do.
Yeah. And, you know, I just like to say, I really want Lucasfilm to take due time and due diligence with the making of this film, with any film, really. I would much rather have a really as near perfect as you possibly can be film sometime later, maybe delayed a year or so, than a somewhat crummy film sooner. I really mean that. Like, I think that if, for example, with episode 9, if they wanted to take more time, push it to December, I'd be totally for that because I care about this world. I care about these characters so much, and I want it to be as perfect as possible. And, you know, to go back to Lord and Miller, I was really excited to have them on the film. I have loved their other movies, such as 21 and 22 Jump Street, the Lego movie. I think that they're really smart filmmakers. And I thought that, oh, there's a really good partnership. I was actually at London Celebration seeing them speak at the Future Filmmakers panel. And it seemed like everything was going well. And then at Orlando Celebration, we had no news of Han Solo or any sort of exhibit for it.
Jared Cantor, a great CWK family member, he sent out an email that I think brings up some good points. I'm going to go ahead and share that with everybody. Jared writes, by way of background, we have to assume that, unless she completely dropped the ball, Kennedy knew what she was getting when she hired Lord and Miller. By that I mean their style, their personalities, how they directed and interacted with the actors, crew, management, etc. Back to the timing. We're clearly well into production, especially if it is true that they only had 3 weeks of shooting remaining. Not including reshoots, of course. So that means that Kennedy had been satisfied with the script, the blue sky development of things like characters, scenery, ships, the casting, and presumably quite a bit of the shot footage. Now to the present. I can see two possible reasons, and this is Jared speaking. I can see two possible reasons why now is the moment for Kennedy to fire Lord and Miller. First, only now is Disney, Lucasfilm, and Kennedy being given a significant amount of footage that they can review and realize that Lord and Miller are doing something wrong and something that they will not correct to the satisfaction of Disney and Lucasfilm and Kennedy. Second, and more interesting, up till now, they've been happy with Lord and Miller, but something is being shot right now. A pivotal scene, or maybe scenes, an actor, whatever, and there's a fundamental disagreement between Lord and Miller and Disney and Kennedy about how to direct or shoot it. If the movie release date holds, reshoots are not expanded, I think that will give credence to my theory that Lord and Miller were fired because of something being shot currently. And interesting, Jared, I hadn't thought about the fact that it could have revolved around a pivotal scene. So, again, a lot to digest. Be interesting to kind of see where we go with this. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Jason Brehm about Star Wars canon. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
You're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. A big reason for the success of our show is our CWK Patreon contributors, including Jason Hall, Dennis Keithley, Angela Souse, Aaron Harris, David Strutt, Connie Shee, Mediocre Jedi, BJ Smith, Nick Deco, Adam Leonard, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Jerry Cantor, and Swara Sala. It's a monthly donation that goes towards show expenses, equipment, and travel. And there are a number of new incentives that we have. The most recent one we mentioned last week is that anyone who contributes $5 or more each month, we get a follow from CWK via our Twitter feed. If you're not already following us, please go ahead and post your Twitter handle on the Patreon page, and you'll know what that is if you are currently a member. And we will make sure that that happens. $10 or more, you will get a link to an exclusive Google Hangout. We just have one. We'd love to have many more people next month, of course. $35 or more, you'll get the additional things, the Google Hangout, plus you'll get a CWK coffee mug, and it goes on and on. In fact, there's some things that you can do that are so, well, they're cool. I mean, you will get to host the show for a week, 2 weeks, or maybe even a month. And as you know, with the new format, I always have two new guest hosts, and we would
would love to have you be one of them. Please check out the show notes or our webpage for much more information.
Sign up for a CWOK Patreon page.
Happy to have Jason Brain join us again for a cup of coffee. What do you have for us today, friend?
You know, it's been an exciting month, I think, for Star Wars storytelling. The majority of it has been in Marvel Comics, and I don't want to steal the thunder from the Comics with Kenobi folks. So, of course, anybody who wants an update on those, check out our buddies over there. So I had something prepared for today, and then Del Rey dropped the 2017 Star Wars sampler, which is really exciting. For those who haven't gotten a chance to get into the books, it's a great way to preview some of the books like Thrawn, the Aftermath books. I mean, there's some great chapters in there. But there was some really fun nuggets in there. For those who don't subscribe to Star Wars Insider, there were actually 5 short stories they reprinted in this particular issue of the sampler. And, of course, the sampler is free. So if you haven't had a chance, check out those short stories. I mean, I don't know if you guys have actually read any of these. I read them as soon as Insider came out. But Voices of the Empire by Mer Lafferty. It's a great tie-in to, with Krennic and Catalyst and all that One goodness.
And I have it on my desk right now. I'm looking at it. I have not cracked it open yet, partially because I wanted to hear sort of what stories pique your interest the most, because those will be the one I'm going to gravitate towards. You have a wonderful knowledge and encyclopedic knowledge of the canon. So that's, I mean, heck, it's your money is what I'm trying to say. Your Star Wars money.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I feel like I have so much value. So each one of these stories brings something really interesting to storytelling. I mean, Star Wars short stories are really interesting. They're kind of like the old Mickey Mouse shorts of yesteryear. And it's also kind of like the short films Disney's doing these days, where it's really an experimental ground for storytelling. I'll point out a story in here, TK462. It's a really a profile about a stormtrooper who happens to be on the Thal during the height of the rebellion, around the time of Star Wars Rebels. It doesn't really tie into those characters that much, but it really humanizes a stormtrooper. And if you're really kind of interested in that perspective on the Empire, I mean, you can gravitate towards that one. But I would say it's insightful. I would not say it's uplifting.
Sure. Well, that's okay. I mean, a good story is going to have ups and downs, and sometimes the tragedy is what draws us in as an audience. But here's the thing, and I've said this many times, for a story to be added to the canon, I think it has to have meaning. It has to have weight. It has to have impact. Otherwise, what is the point of telling a story? So of these short stories, do they add to the overall overarching galactic battle? You know what I mean? Does it have resonance? Is it important, or is it just something that they did because they can?
You know, so out of all these, if you're talking about canon significance, I would turn your attention to Scorched by Delilah S. Dawson. If you love Bloodline, or if you like that story, Scorched adds a whole new layer onto the character of Greer Sunel, who was Leia's aide in Bloodline. Uh-huh. This really actually tells basically a good snapshot of her racing career before she turned in her racing hat,
which is very cool.
And really ties into Han Solo, as Han Solo was running a lot of these galactic races during that time. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting narrative thread that we saw as they were talking about Han Solo racing in Marvel. They talked about
the Dragon Void
Han
Run.
Is the racing career.
Oh, what? So good.
Yeah, the Dragon Void Run in that miniseries.
Absolutely. I mean, it was just an interesting thread as we saw like starship racing just like flare up in the canon all of a sudden. And Scorched is a great way to kind of tie into that, and really ties into the larger canon. The rest of these stories really are just more, I think, neat narrative snapshots of basically telling a story that we know, but from a different perspective. I mean, even the Blade Squadron's stories, they all tie into something happening at the time, but it's just a different perspective. Like Blade Squadron Kuwait, which is in this collection, talks about the Battle of Kuwait, which is something that was mentioned in passing in Life Debt. I think the villain in the story was hearing about reports around the galaxy, and one of them was the status of things going on in Kuwait. Well, this is the story of what happened at that moment. Is it significant to the overarching war galactic battle? I mean, you can live without it, but why would you want to?
That That is good marketing right there. No, that's well said. There's got to be something that draws you in. And for me, I mean, for both of you, how important are ancillary characters to you? I mean, I like knowing, obviously, about the main characters and some of the side characters, depending on who. I don't have an absolute rule because only Sith deal in absolutes, of course. I don't have a strict rule about which ones I'm interested in. If they're compelling, whether it's for the design or their arc or just something about them, great. But I don't need to know about every single character in the story because sometimes a little mystery is okay. One thing that's always kind of been sort of love and hit or miss with me with Batman in the DC comics is sometimes we get a lot of information about a lot of the police or a lot of random villains that don't seem necessarily significant to Batman's narrative. So that, in a way, it's just not something that appeals to me. That being said, who cares if it appeals to me or not? If it appeals to someone else, then that's what matters. So
totally.
How important are ancillary characters?
I think for me, it really depends on how well the story is told. I would even put, to some extent, Rogue One in that sort of category because it doesn't deal with the main saga or the main saga characters. It deals with, you know, the crew that was able to capture the Death Star plans. It was presented as an interesting sort of backstory or essentially Star Wars anthology story, and I found that very compelling. I really enjoyed the characters, especially Chirrut Imwe and K2SO, Cassian Andor, and Jyn. Those were my favorite characters in the films, and I think that their story overall was told in a very compelling way. I don't read too many of the ancillary novels, although I do read quite a few of the comics. I've been behind the past couple of months, I'm afraid to say. But in the comics, I've really enjoyed Dr. Aphra's arc. I think she's an incredibly compelling character. She's multi-layered, complex, very interesting in how she deals with Vader and our main saga heroes. I've also enjoyed reading her interactions with Sana Solo and Sana Solo's interactions. Although, sorry, is her last name actually Solo? I forget, because they weren't, spoiler alert, they weren't actually married. And I just think that it really depends on the presentation of these, as you describe it, Dan, these ancillary materials that makes me want to read them or not. And one last example, Jason, you mentioned this, Catalyst, absolutely brilliant novel. The way that Director Krennic is presented in Rogue One as opposed to in Catalyst is quite different. I read Catalyst before I saw Rogue One, and I fell in love with Orson Krennic. To me, he seemed like the Frank Underwood of Star Wars, and House of Cards is one of my favorite series, and I was so anticipating seeing that in Rogue One, and to be honest, I was actually kind of disappointed we didn't really get that, but even so, thinking of them as almost two separate characters, I love that ancillary character of Krennic. So it really does depend case by case.
It does, and that's kind of the real trick, isn't it, to quote Han Solo? Because if you read this before, you're talking about a character who's at the beginning of his arc in Catalyst versus Rogue One, where he's at the end of his rope and he's not putting up with Galen Erso anymore. And I'm glad you brought up Rogue One, because these are ancillary characters. But as you said, Swar, the story is what matters. I think it's fair to say that for so many of us, since we first saw the opening crawl to Star Wars, we wanted to know how the Rebels got the plans. It doesn't really get much more impactful than finding out how they got the plans to the Death Star, besides maybe finding out more about the Clone Wars, which we absolutely have. So I think, again, it's all about the characters. Obviously, you're part of the story, but if the story is worth being told, if people will be compelled to read it or listen to it or to view it, then that's what you've gotten. And Jason, that I'm assuming that's one of the things that has drawn you to Star Wars in the first place.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, more than anything, I think why I get so engrossed in what they're doing with storytelling now is that they are building those connections and they're pulling on the right threads, I think, for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. Just talking about we're talking about ancillary characters and short stories. To some extent, Ahsoka can be considered an ancillary character. And
absolutely.
She's loved by all.
Oh, gosh, I don't think she's ancillary at all.
I just meant ancillary in terms of not being part of the films.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, there you go. Well, that's a whole different ballgame.
but if we look at like a short story series, like the Blade Squadron series, I mean, there's a character, Gina Moonsong, in those series, and she's been in all five of the iterations of that short story. And she has an interesting arc. I mean, it's told in different parts in time, but it's a character you can gravitate to, and a character that is not related to anyone else in the saga. Anytime they bring in these characters and can make some sort of connection that feels relevant to the larger picture, even if it's like, you know, 7 degrees of separation to Han Solo, I mean, I can find the path that gets them back to the main story and see how they're relevant.
Okay, so play my English teacher card here. There are definitely some good points that you both bring up. Ancillary. The definition of ancillary means something that is helping or subordinate, but not as necessary. So an ancillary character will be someone that may be interesting or compelling, but they're not necessary to the overall arc. And, I mean, based on that definition alone, I'm sure we all agree that Ahsoka is the opposite of an ancillary character.
Right, absolutely. I was just, again, thinking of it in terms of what would be directly impactful on the saga films, but
right.
Dan,
for people who have not seen, who only see the films, then of course Ahsoka is going to be ancillary because they may not know who she is. But then once you do discover there's this whole other larger world, well then she just becomes inseparable.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that, but at the same time, I mean, this is just my perspective, but I love Ahsoka. She's one of my absolute favorite characters in the expanded canon. But I still like make that distinction because I genuinely don't think of what happens in Clone Wars or in Rebels, at least, you know, maybe in its main plot. Obviously, you see spots here and there of things that would influence what happens in Revenge of the Sith, you know, influence that. But generally, I don't really see them as, you know, necessarily exactly impacting Han, Luke, and Leia in terms of how they know these other characters we've been with in these animated series. Although, for sure, Hera's crew does influence what happens for the Rebel Alliance at large. So there is sort of that distinction. But going back to the definition of ancillary, I think that there's a really good point to be made about what we consider ancillary in the Star Wars universe, because originally it was really mainly the films. Obviously, we had the old EU expanded universe with so many different stories to tell, and, you know, the stories seemed to be going everywhere, and, you know, it was crazily exciting. But still, like, the main public generally saw it through the lens of the films. But now that we have Story Group, now that we have these carefully tailored stories along with these, quote, ancillary characters, there's a huge multitude of arcs scattered throughout Star Wars. There are so many storylines to follow, and it is its own universe. It's probably the biggest universe you could think of compared to, like, Marvel, Lord of the Rings, or any other fictional universe. It just gives so much for fans to dig into and so many different types of stories. It's a really amazing thing when you think about it. So ancillary really becomes subjective in a way.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess like you could say it's subjective. I mean, technically, in Rebels, Hera is a main character and essential to the storyline. But in Rogue One, she's mentioned and you see the ghost. So from that perspective, she's ancillary, but for the overall arcing story, she's definitely not. So, yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, Swara. It makes total sense. Jason, let's get it back to the Delroy sampler. What else is in that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of good, you know, aside from the short stories, if you haven't gotten a chance to pick those up, definitely. If you haven't been into the novels and you want to get a taste of them, the Delray sampler gives us a chapter or two each from Thrawn, which we talked about last month, Bloodline, which is still a favorite. I mean, anything Claudia Gray writes is gold these days.
For sure.
Yes, Aftermath, it is.
Right? I mean,
it is. She's the best.
And the fact that she's got a Princess Leia book coming up is...
Yay!
I know, right? Even a sample from Rogue One, the novelization by Alexander Freed, I mean, there's some great stuff to just kind of get your teeth wet into the larger story universe of Star Wars. And I mean, it's definitely worth it for those who haven't made the dive into the story universe yet. Like, I think the good thing about where we're at with these stories is there's a place for everyone to start. And that's when people ask me, is like, where do I start reading? I was like, well, what do you like? Like, where do you want to go? And this book can really kind of give you a sense of what time period of storytelling do I really want to explore? Is it that after Return of the Jedi? Is it that meet between 3 and 4? I mean, there's so many places to start. And then do you like comics? Do you like short stories or novels? I mean, that's what's great. But the other thing is that they're all connected. And I mean, even Marvel references are showing up in young adult books, and it's incredible. Interesting fun fact. When TK462, the Sylvia Neville short story, came out in Insider, it was TK146275. Nope. I don't know why they shortened it or changed it. He's never referenced by that in the novel or in the short story, so I'm assuming they could have changed it and said maybe Stormtroopers never had that long of a designation. I don't know.
Oh, that's
cool. Interesting.
Very good. Jason, where can people reach out to you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Absolutely. So I have a YouTube channel, Star Wars TCE or Star Wars The Canon Explained. I answer as many comments on those videos as I can. If you prefer Twitter, at Star Wars TCE is where I talk all my canon stuff. So come check it out.
Awesome.
Very good. And those are definitely must-have resources if you want to follow the storyline of Star Wars. And if you get a little bit lost, I can honestly tell you, and this is without any bias, Jason's videos on YouTube that piece things together, they're just, I can't imagine how much time you put into them, but I mean, you're, if there was like an audition for the story group, I mean, you've got it, friend.
Totally.
You heard it here. I'm available.
Well, hey, thank you, Jason. We'll talk to you again next month. Jason Brame, everyone. When we return, Tom has the news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Akbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like Rogue One and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit PenguinRandomHouseAudio.com/StarWars for sample clips and to start listening now. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
So we're in the news segment, and we've been having a good time having you, Tom, of course, as our co-host. But the Join Your Voice that we've been hearing throughout this episode, you're the guy who just returned from a Disney cruise with your family. So tell us, how was it, and what are some of the highlights for you?
Oh, man, I have to say it was a phenomenal, phenomenal trip. The Disney cruise line does a great vacation. And I'll say this, Dan, I'm not the kind of person who wants to do an annual vacation every year, small kids and things like that, but also travel and the planning and all goes into it. But I have to say, before I ever finished this vacation, I was already thinking – my wife and I were talking about how do we make this happen again? And that conversation was happening before we were even off the ship. So it was phenomenal. Three big things stand out to me on this. And number one is the movies. The movies, the movies, the movies. They had three big venues in my eyes of how they share movies on the ship. And one is up on the 11th deck by the pools there. They have this gigantic screen that is visible during the brightest of noontime Caribbean sun, or, you know, obviously at night is crystal clear. They call it funnel vision. And they show, they showed several movies up there, such as like Captain America Civil War at night and the Pirates of the Caribbean 3. And then I sat there and got sunburned one afternoon watching Mulan. It was great.
Nice.
And
so,
and finally, it was.
You know, finally on the Civil War train. I've only been trying to get you to watch that for what, 3.5 years?
I know, right? Yeah, I've got that.
In the middle of the ocean to watch it, but I'm glad that you did. I'm glad you had such a great time. It is, and I can totally relate to that. On my honeymoon, we loved it so much that when we were off the boat, we went to the Magic Kingdom that day, and we were depressed for a while because we had just gotten off the boat, and we finally looked at each other and said, "We're at the Magic Kingdom. We need to move on." Because that's what the cruise does. It's amazing. The memories that you make on those ships are just incredible. The food's amazing. What was the Star Wars presence like there?
The Star Wars presence, well, first of all, in the Rogue One was being shown in the Buena Vista Theater. So my daughter and I got to see Rogue One there. And then, of course, one of my highlights was the Kids Oceaneers Club. And inside the Oceaneers Club was the brand new since the spring, the Fantasy was in dry dock and they redid some things, and the Kids Oceaneers Club was one of them. And they put in a Star Wars Resistance base there, and which was really neat. Had some 3D flight simulators, had a holographic info area of like BB-8 and R5-D4 and R2-D2, some droid holograms. And they did several different shows for the kids that I'll save for another time. Star Wars was also very prevalent in the pin trading. That is my understanding is a Disney thing on at the Disney World and Disneyland, but they continue this idea or this concept of trading pins. And so I had to pick up a couple. And so I've got a really cool Rey pin and a Kylo Ren, and I picked up a Doctor Strange and a Spider-Man pin. But Star Wars is on the ship. It's not the thing. You know, they do have the cruises that have the Star Wars Day. We had the Pirate Night instead of Star Wars Day, which is pretty exclusive to the spring cruises, I think, from looking at the things.
They're amazing too. The Pirate is definitely a highlight.
Oh, it was so much fun. And then I'd say the third highlight is the staff and the treatment. It was A+ treatment. They treated our daughters like princesses, called them princesses, got them anything and everything they wanted. And you know, I've got staff stories I can share on another show another time. But sure. But it was just the greatest vacation I may have ever been on. It was so
amazing.
So wonderful.
I have no doubt. Very, very glad to hear that. Yeah. We could easily talk for a month about the cruise. So again, Disney, if you're listening, the answer is yes. If you want to invite us to be on the next Star Wars cruise, all three of us would be happy to go on there. And
I'm there.
Somebody's got to do it.
I will make the sacrifice. I'm there.
Exactly. So we're going to shift gears for the first news story, going from something really wonderful to something really heart-wrenching, and Carrie Fisher's autopsy.
Yes, the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office released the autopsy and toxicology report for Carrie Fisher this week. The report states possible cause of death as sleep apnea and other undetermined factors. Other conditions listed in the report include atherosclerotic heart disease. Fisher may have suffered what appeared to be cardiac arrest. Drug use is also listed as a possible cause, as drugs found in Fisher's system at the time of death include traces of cocaine, heroin, morphine, methadone, and ecstasy. But the coroner's report states it's unclear what significance those drugs had in causing her death. The report lists the official manner of death as undetermined. Carrie Fisher was 60 years old.
This is a tough one. This is a tough one for a lot of reasons. I mean, I'm a parent, I'm a teacher, I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm all of those things. They're not mutually exclusive concepts. And Carrie Fisher is obviously a celebrity. You know, when you're a celebrity, I think there's just something that you sort of sign away your privacy, right? Because of the business, because that's just sort of how it works. And I understand that. That's all part and parcel of it. And obviously, Carrie Fisher and her family understood that too. However, the problem I have with this, well, there are a lot of things that are really, as I said, heart-wrenching. But when it comes to medical things and your health, I just feel like there's some things that not only do I not need to know, but it's not my right to know. Now, it's public record, and Swara, you're perfect to have on this because of your knowledge of politics and just sort of culture. But
thanks.
Just the whole thing, the fact that we have this report and that it's made public, just doesn't sit well with me. It's even more upsetting, if that's possible.
Yeah, I totally hear you, Dan. You know, when I saw this news, I thought, you know, do I really need to know this? Is it really going to change the way I felt about her death? The fact that I felt like she was taken way too soon from us. But, you know, like you said, she is a celebrity. She has, to some degree, signed away some of her privacy rights, you know. But the thing we have to remember about Carrie is that she was always completely forefront, at the forefront, and completely divulging of her mental and her physical struggles throughout her entire life. And she was an outspoken advocate for mental health and for those dealing with addiction. And she really used her own life as an example in her various amazing writings and books and her one-woman show. She always wanted to stress that there are people like me dealing with this, and we need to help them, essentially. And we need to be cognizant of how we can be better to them generally. But still, I agree with you. It's a you know, nothing that I necessarily needed to know. Maybe, I don't know, tangentially, it adds into that advocacy work she was doing in terms of helping people understand that people do deal with this. Like, this was a lifelong battle for Carrie. But in terms of how it makes me personally feel, it changes nothing for me. It, you know, I still feel the same way I do about her death the day we heard it. It was a horrid loss, and, right, you know, we're still hurting from it.
Yeah, I mean, it changes nothing for me either, and I'd say most people, I would say, would feel the same way. Because, you know, even if you're the most charismatic, charming, humorous person in the room, it doesn't mean you don't have struggles. It doesn't mean you're not battling demons, and Carrie Fisher obviously did until the day of her death, of her passing. And it just sort of makes you take a step back And I hope that, as you said, Swara, I hope that doesn't have an effect where people look at her differently or somehow denigrate her impact as an actress, as a force of nature, because I think she deserves that respect. You know, addiction is I don't personally struggle with addiction, and I'm very, very happy that I don't, obviously, but it's a real thing. It's not like people can just stop. I mean, there's a reason that it's an illness. You know, people who struggle with addiction, they need treatment. They need help. And I think we should remember that this isn't a sign of anything other than this is a woman that you should admire and respect. And I believe, right, we talked about before we recorded that her daughter Billie Lord had said, you know, this isn't her way that she wanted to raise awareness and would have done so.
Yeah, exactly. Billie Lord issued out a statement saying that, you know, all she hopes is that this reminds people of the struggle that her, quote, Mombi has, her affectionate name for her mother. God bless Billie Lord, wonderful human being. And that people will, like I said, just remain more aware of it overall and help those who are mentally ill and struggling with addiction get the help that they need.
Got a couple other stories we want to hit real quickly.
Sure. In other news from the Star Wars galaxy, Marvel Comics has released images from 4 pages of the upcoming Captain Phasma comic that is slated to be released the week of September 3rd. As part of the Journey to Star Wars Last Jedi storyline, the Phasma 4-part miniseries documents Phasma's escape from the Starkiller base before it was destroyed. The book will be written by Kelly Thompson of the Star Wars Annual and the Hawkeye comics, and illustrated by Marco Cicchetto of the Star Wars Shattered Empire, and most recently worked on the Screaming Citadel crossover. The images from the pages of the book depict Captain Phasma in her famous chrome-plated armor and menacing black cape trimmed in red, moving about in various locations of rubble and destruction. First Order troopers highlight several of the panels, as well as a chaotic X-Wing TIE fighter battle. I'm sure this miniseries will give us some much-anticipated insight into characters into a character that many wanted more from in The Force Awakens. But what I'm wondering is if, after spending a bit of time in a trash compactor, will the captain institute the First Order's first recycling program?
Maybe have an air freshener handy, right?
That's right. And so, what are you hoping for in the upcoming Phasma miniseries?
I think it's neat that they're going to show us how she got out of the trash compactor, because shortly after that happened, Starkiller Base was incinerated. So we don't know. And part of me expected to find out about this sort of in passing in The Last Jedi, but we're going to have it now. And that's just sort of where we're at with Star Wars, because we've got so much connectivity with all the different mediums. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I know that she's a little bit maligned because she didn't have much of a role in The Force Awakens, but I think if you go through the original trilogy, a lot of the main characters didn't have major roles in every single one of the films. So I think it kind of adds overall to the atmosphere of Star Wars. And I have a feeling we're going to hear more about her and see more about her in the subsequent films. But this is cool. This is really cool. And I know, speaking of things that many find cool, there's some San Diego Comic-Con stuff we found out about too, isn't there?
There is. This week, the Star Wars show announced the Gentle Giants 2 Star Wars Sandy. I'm sorry, I'm going to start that over. This week, the Star Wars show announced Gentle Giants 2 San Diego Comic-Con exclusives celebrating the Star Wars 40th anniversary. A mini bust of Darth Vader and one of Luke Skywalker in his orange X-Wing pilot uniform will be available at the Gentle Giant booth every day for $100 each. Both limited edition busts come individually numbered with the matching certificate of authenticity by artist Brian Rood. We've discussed several different collectibles here on the new segment of Coffee with Kenobi, but these are pretty cool looking and very detailed. I especially like the detail that below the bust of each are hilts of their lightsabers. So what stands out to you on these exclusive 40th anniversary collectibles?
So what do you think? I'm gonna let you field this one right off the bat. Curious for your thoughts.
Yeah, so, you know, mostly what I collect are a couple of action figures and a bunch of Funko Pops. I don't really go for these rather large expenses, but looking at these, I'm actually I'm a little creeped out. I just looking at them, you know what it is? Okay, so, you know, I get what they're trying to do here. They're trying to do the traditional Roman bust for Star Wars and make it look very elegant and dignified. But because they have this specific shape of showing only the torso and the shoulders, and because we have a longstanding history of cutting off limbs in the Star Wars saga, this just looks to me as though both Luke and his father have had 75% of their body cut off, and it's like, it almost reminds me of that scene in at Mustafar in Revenge of the Sith. Oh god.
Yeah, these, I know a lot of people love mini busts and different. The thing about Star Wars collecting is that there's so much to choose from. So you can pick and choose. Although, I mean, even Steve Sands would do it, the biggest collection in the world. He doesn't have everything because you have to really pick and choose. When I look at these mini busts, I appreciate the sculpts and the detail and the time that the creatives and the artists put into these things. And they clearly are immensely talented. And what I'm about to say is no
absolutely
towards them in any way, shape, or form. But, yeah, I think they're creepy. I like Vader's red-tinted lens on the eyepieces. But other than
that's great.
This is just something I might say, oh, and just walk on by. Because that's not where my collecting lies.
Yeah, not for me either.
it's not really my collecting style either, but I think in the right collection, these would fit nicely with a nice, filled in around them. They could be a great centerpiece for a, a pretty sizable important collection. So for sure. Well, finally, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, will be coming to Netflix this July.
Yay!
This will be the first live-action Star Wars film to show on Netflix for United States viewers. It will join the Clone Wars animated series as extra entertainment for Star Wars fans.
I think this is a huge deal. Of the news this week in Star Wars that does not involve the directors of the Han Solo film, I think this is a really big deal. And one of the reasons why is because the way we disseminate and immerse ourselves in film, and we're very much a film culture, but it's because of iPads and phones and streaming services and having raised two teenage boys, I can definitely say with a high amount of certainty, this is going to cause even more people to see Rogue One and to experience Star Wars, because that's how a lot of people do it. That's how they watch film. That's how they watch TV shows and animated shows. I think this is going to open up Star Wars to even more viewers. And that seems kind of silly to say, considering Rogue One is in the top 10 highest grossing films of all time. It's not like it's hurting for audiences or financial gain. But I think this is a really big deal.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Dan. For the sake of the longevity of the film, it's a huge deal. I mean, so many more generations, I feel, down the line are going to be seeing this. And, it's not as though Rogue One, I mean, it's going to continue making money far down the line, as all other Star Wars films have done. And I've actually been discussing this piece of news with fellow podcasters and friends the past couple of days. And I found some of international Star Wars fans living in Australia, living in the Netherlands, living in other countries in the world actually already have all the other Star Wars films on their country's Netflix. We just don't have it here in the U.S. because it's such a huge market here, and Lucasfilm wouldn't want to distribute that so readily. But I think that with the release of Rogue One now, I think it's setting precedence for the other Star Wars films to be put on perhaps sooner rather than later.
And I think, I just think when I look at how Rogue One is put together, and talking to some just other fans, or even those who aren't necessarily Star Wars fans, but came to see Rogue One, most of them said, put out there, this is really a great movie just by itself.
Right.
It's a great action, it's a great action movie. And
one at that, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And
when you put a new hope on there too, and people are going to watch these things back to back, and it's going to again reintroduce Star Wars to many people and also bring other generations into it, because the longevity, I mean, Netflix, I don't know what the current subscription is for Netflix as far as how many people subscribe to Netflix, but I know this is going to get even more people watching Star Wars. Because let's be honest, there are a lot of people who don't go to the movies to see movies. They wait for streaming. So this is good for audiences. Well, thanks, Tom. So good to have you back. And how about this? We'll have you stick around. It's almost like in Johnny Carson. For those of you who were, I don't remember Johnny Carson, whenever he would have a comedian on, if he gave you the nod, that was like a exciting event. You got to sit with him and have more to do with the Johnny Carson show, for the Tonight Show. So,
Tom, yeah, you just got to sit closer to Ed. That's all.
That's right. You are correct, sir. So that was my Ed McMahon impression, probably the worst one you'll ever hear. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and do something that I've always wanted to do, play the new Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
You're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi was also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
As we are almost finished with our cups of coffee, we're going to play some Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. Now, this is going to be great. I've always loved Trivial Pursuit just in general. Trivia, I think, is great. Tom, you and I, a few months ago, there was a big fundraiser for the high school where we teach.
Yes.
And it was trivia related. And it's just fun. The original Star Wars Trivial Pursuit, when that came out, I believe, let's see, probably... early 2000s, I would say, around there. I used to play that. Well, whenever anyone would agree to play with me, because people, I mean, you know, they weren't eventually going to have a Star Wars podcast. We'll put it that way. And so when we would play, it would be me against two or three other people, and I had a four-question limit that I wasn't allowed to answer anymore. And so I had a lot of success. Because it was fun, and that doesn't make me unique, because I'm really sure that Thomas Warwick would say the exact same thing, as could so many of us who are listening to the show right now. So it's fun. So the big challenge for me on this is I'm going to be asking the questions instead of answering them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. So I have the recent Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. Hasbro was kind enough to send me one. Not recently, but I've had it for a while. And so I'm gonna ask both of you a couple of questions. So it's not going to be, so I'm gonna ask Tom one, let him answer it, and then Swore I'm gonna ask you a separate one. We're gonna go through a couple of rounds of these. I think it's gonna be really fun. And obviously those of you listening at home, play along. So here we go. Tom, we'll have you go first. You've got six categories. You've got the Cantina, which is scenes and aliens and cameos. You've got the Force, and let me pull this thing over so I can actually see it a little bit better. We've got the Force for every action. There's a reaction. That's all they say about that category. We've got heroes, villains, and scoundrels. Pretty straightforward. The saga and main points. A galaxy far, far away, which is planets, cities, buildings, and vehicles. And then hyperspace is the wild card. And if memory serves, this is kind of like some behind-the-scenes stuff and things like that. So what color do you want to pick first? What category?
Oh, man. This is one of those times when you get nervous about, do I really know what I'm talking about? it's like when someone says, yeah, it's like when you're sitting at that table with people doing trivia, and for me, it'd be like baseball comes up. Everyone looks at me and I'm like, oh, come on, guys. I know I love baseball, but I'm not a trivia person. So let's do the one
you
that is.
Well, actually, when we played earlier. No, seriously.
I got lucky.
Great. And for the record, I absolutely love when people expect me to answer. I know that shocks you.
Yes. Let's do the main points, the main topics. It was kind of in the middle of your categories.
Villains and scoundrels.
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. What kind of man does Balatik proclaim Han Solo to be on the freighter? What kind of man does Balatik proclaim Han Solo to be on the freighter?
Oh, jeez. I just watched this.
on the ship.
Yeah, on the ship. See, I was so laid back that, what kind of man? I keep going back to like a liar or a, oh man, everyone else has it but me.
I wouldn't have come up with this right off the bat, I don't think.
Okay, I have to defer. Sword, you know?
Want to steal this one?
Han Solo, you're a dead man.
Oh, jeez.
That's it?
That was a terrible accent, by the way. Well, my apologies.
It was great.
Thank you.
Right, Swara. So, well done, sir.
Sorry to steal your point, Tom. I'm going to go for the same one: heroes, villains, and scoundrels.
All right, let me grab another card here. Who quietly leans down and says, "My dear friend, how I've missed you."
Oh, wait, I remember this. My dear friend, how I've missed you. This is just films, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
So far, we're looking at, it seems like these are all Force Awakens.
I don't recall this in Force Awakens. Wait, can I? I was thinking like Yoda in like Revenge of the Sith or something, but my dear friend, how I've missed you. Oh,
this sounds like stall tactics. Are you Googling?
I'm not Googling anything. I'm not.
Oh, I didn't even think to do that. No.
My dear friend, how I've missed you. Oof.
I'll give you 5 seconds.
I know I'm gonna kill myself for like not remembering this. Oh, forgive me, Ray. Okay. What is it?
What do you got?
I literally just remembered C-3PO to R2-D2. It came like a bolt of lightning.
You're correct.
Oh, wow.
What scene is that in?
That's when R2 wakes up.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, he shows them the map. Yeah.
All right. Well, this seems like too much fun. I won't look at the answer. You can trust me. I'm an honest guy.
I believe you.
I'm going to pick the saga movie points. All right, okay. Here we go. Who is the general Poe Dameron is referring to when speaking to Lor San Tekka? Oh, that would be Princess Leia. Leia Organa.
General hard one. Leia Organa.
Didn't seem to take me as long as you two, Yahoo.
Man. Say.
That was a layup. That was an easy one. All right, Tom.
That was a layup.
Of course, Heroes, Villains, and Scoundrels, The Saga, Galaxy Far, Far Away, or Hyperspace, which is the wild
card. Oh, I'm going to go Galaxy Far, Far Away. What the heck?
All right, good. I like it. This is probably this is like the geography questions.
Normally, I do well. Let's see how I do.
Okay. I think you'll get this. What kind of ship does FN-2187 ask Poe Dameron if he can fly?
A TIE fighter, right?
You got it.
There you go.
Boom.
Booyah.
You did it. Well done, man.
All right. Well, what category you got?
I'm just going to go for Galaxy Far, Far Away as well.
All right. Let's see. Which system is home to the Resistance base?
The Illenium system.
Nice. How many times have you seen The Force Awakens?
At least 9 times.
Okay.
Nice. Well, that does help.
I know people who have seen it like 20 plus times. Who has the time?
Well, that's good. All right, I guess I'll try one more. I want to do The Force. I have no idea what they're going to ask, so let's see what The Force category is. What does Rey hear in Maz Kanata's castle that pulls her to investigate the basement? Well, I don't know what specifically they're looking for. They're looking for a specific actual word or sound. But doesn't she hear, like, a child scream?
That's it?
Yeah.
I was going to say cries for help or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Man. All right, good. Well, let's just do one more.
Cool.
All right, Tom. What category, sir?
Whatever the first one was.
The first one was the cantina. Scenes, aliens,
yes.
Cameos.
Yeah, I'm going to do terrible here. Okay.
That's the spirit.
This one's intimidating to me. That's why I chose it.
Which two-word insult does Han Solo call the Kanja Club?
Oh. Dang.
Which two-word insult does Han Solo call the Kanja Club?
Two-word insult. I'm going to give because I have no idea. Can't even guess. But you're going to say it, and I'll know.
No, I actually can't remember it either, Tom.
I would.
I'm just gonna guess Nerf Herder. Like, why not?
Yes.
The answer is Little Freaks.
Oh, that's so obscure.
I know.
Man. Woo.
Little trivia, you know. Okay, yeah. So let's see.
This is fun though. This is fun.
The hyperspace wild card.
Awesome.
Wait, no, wait, this is your turn, Sora.
Oh yeah, it's from You know what? I'm gonna do hyperspace wild card.
There you go.
Let's see what I get.
Which kind of cannons does General Hux tell Lieutenant Mitaka to fire at the stolen TIE fighter flown by Poe Dameron? Now, I knew this one.
Oh, no.
Does General Hux tell Lieutenant Mitaka to fire at the stolen TIE fighter flown by Poe Dameron?
Well, I know it's not.
I know this one.
I know it's not an ion cannon, but man. I don't know. Tom, you take it.
The ventral cannons. And, is that right?
And now things have evened out.
Yeah.
Well done.
Sweet.
Look at that. Can't be stopped. You two are just on fire. You two should be on a podcast. Pretty good. All right, I'm going to do the wild card also.
Yeah.
Who is the first character mentioned in The Force Awakens? Well, if you're talking about the text, it's Luke Skywalker, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
And that's the right answer. See, now you see why it took three and four people to try to beat me. And it just never worked.
Wow.
I think I did lose one time. We both were at the very, very end, and it was just sort of a luck of the dice thing, and I'm still not bitter at all, which is really nice. Hey, that was fun. I think we're going to do that a little bit more in the future. You guys want to do a tiebreaker just for fun? Just between the two.
Okay, let's do it. I'm competitive.
Yeah, sure.
All right, I'm going to try to find a really challenging one.
Oh.
Okay. All right, I think this one will be sufficiently challenging. Which droid contacts C-3PO to let him know BB-8 is at Maz Kanata's castle?
I mean, I know what the droid looks like, but...
I was going to say, yeah.
Well, let me check the back of the card. Nope, that's not good enough. Okay. Which droid contacts C-3PO to let him know BB-8 is at Maz Kanata's castle? If either of you know this, I'm impressed. And
I don't know.
I
can picture it. Yeah, I can picture who it is, but it's like a medical droid or something.
Old school.
Yeah. Droid.
Did you say
Hemlock? Yeah. No, he said medical droid.
Medical droid. Yes.
That doesn't help.
That would be interesting.
The answer is DA-97.
Wouldn't have had that.
No idea.
Either. So it sounds like you both win. You're both winners.
Yay.
All right.
Good deal. I like that. We'll definitely do this again. We're going to take our last break and return with your tweets regarding the changes to production in the untitled Han Solo film. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
You're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. Coffee with Kenobi.
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Penguin Random House Audio and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, our website, Player FM, which is new for us, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, and would love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. And these are all tweets regarding the news of Lord Miller leaving the Han Solo film. @JSalinWriter writes, "It's such a protected product, I'm not sure it will make much of a difference," which definitely interesting to see how that plays out. I appreciate the optimism on that as well. Eric Okenhout, and I apologize, Eric, I should know how to pronounce your name, especially since you're a CWK blogger, but Eric wrote, "I'm curious what she saw in them to hire them in the first place. If she didn't want a comedy, don't hire comedic directors." Another valid point, I would say. @TrevorDunkinson wrote, "A bit worried, but at the end of the day, I trust Disney and I'm confident they'll be able to find the right director to fill the spot." @Mizzou@Hard wrote, "I trust Kathleen Kennedy, and remember, we all panicked about Rogue One director news, and it turned out great." Elaine Roberts, which was @XBBY77, wrote, "They just weren't part of the plans of the Force." So, overall, I think people are kind of like us. They have one eye open, one eye to the future, one eye to the present. And I think I hear a lot of optimism and a lot of, well, gee, what do they expect? I think it's fair. I mean, again, we have the Hollywood Reporter and Variety, but we're never going to, I wouldn't say never, never say never again, of course, as James Bond fans know. But it is going to be interesting to see just sort of how the legacy of the Han Solo film, how much this is a part of that.
For sure.
So huge thanks to Swarasala and Tom Gross for coming on the show today. Where can people reach out to both of you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello? And definitely feel free to plug anything that you've got going on.
So you can find me on Twitter @SwaraSaleh1. That's SwaraSaleh1. You can listen to me on Beltway Banthas, the Star Wars politics podcast. We cover everything in the realm of politics and Star Wars. I do it with one of my best friends and my amazing co-host, Stephen Kent. You can follow him on Twitter @Stephen_Kent8. That's Stephen with a PH. You can also, if you're interested in Star Wars and music, I actually run a Facebook group called Sounds from a Galaxy Far, Far Away. We discuss everything from John Williams to Michael Giacchino to other soundtracks John Williams has composed and conducted, and, you know, just everything in the realm of Star Wars and music. So if you're interested in joining that group, please send a join request and I'll accept you. Yeah, that's where you can find me.
And you can follow me on Twitter @DraftLine. You can catch me there for some tidbits on Star Wars when I come across it, as well as cycling and education and fitness things on there. So DraftLine, and you can catch me here every week doing the news with Coffee with Kenobi.
It's Warren Sala and Tom Gross, everybody. We're going to be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars talk. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.